1230 AM, W255DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. At the UN, an emotional Palestinian representative spoke of the more than 1,000 children killed in Gaza since Israel resumed airstrikes in March.
Savage attacks by those who claim the virtues of fighting against barbarism.
Four Palestinians died today after breaking into a UN warehouse to get food. President Trump has been sounding off at Vladimir Putin on social media. Today, Trump said he's holding off for now on sanctioning Russia over the war in Ukraine.
Only the fact that if I think I'm close to getting a deal, I don't want to screw it up by doing that.
Ian Lee has the latest on the hunt for a prison escapee in Arkansas, who is also a former police chief.
This is some rugged terrain in northern Arkansas. It's wooded. There's a lot of rocks. That's going to make it difficult. And up till yesterday, the weather was pretty terrible.
CBS News Brief. I'm Cammie McCormick.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. Following another mild winter in Wisconsin, an environmental group says nearly every city they've studied has seen an increasing average summer temperature over the past 50 years. A WPR report says Climate Control recently released an analysis of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Since 1970, it showed an average temperature increase of over 2.5 degrees Fahrenheit in the summers. Milwaukee was among the cities the group studied, and it has seen an average summer temperature increase of nearly 3.5 degrees. And if you happen to see the governor out fixing potholes, you aren't seeing things. He's traveling the state with a shovel full of asphalt in his hands. Terry Barr explains what's behind the effort.
Governor Tony Evers using his annual pothole patrol to highlight the need for transportation funding. A Republican-controlled committee stripped millions of dollars for road and bridge projects from his proposed budget. The governor saying the cuts come after years of investment.
Over the last 6 years, my administration has improved more than 8,600 miles of road and 2,000 bridges statewide. And then fix some of those darn roads my darn self. I had to kick off my 6th pothole patrols statewide.
And along with potholes, the governor says there are more than 300 construction projects that just won't happen if the money is kept out of the budget.
And Evers is also renewing calls for the state legislature to invest in the Child Care Counts program, following the release of results from a new study into child care costs. The Wisconsin Department of Children and Families announced the results of the 2025 market rate survey last week, showing an 11% cost increase for families with kids in center-based care and a 10% increase for family-based care. Governor Evers is calling for over $480 million in child care funding in his biennial budget proposal. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
The Brewers complete the sweep. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, another dramatic win for the crew. Last night it was Christian Yelich and a walk-off grand slam home run in extra innings. Today, Caleb Durbin with a sac fly to center field that drove in Sal Frelick in the bottom of the 10th. The final, the Brewers beating the Red Sox 6-5 at AmFam Field, completing a three-game sweep of Boston. The team has tomorrow off before heading to Philadelphia for a weekend series against a tough team, the Phillies. Here in Green Bay, Packers OTAs continue on the offensive line with Elgton Jenkins holding out for a new deal. Right guard Sean Ryan moved over to center.
I think we're confident in him. He's been training like this for a couple years now. So one of the benefits I would say that we do in regards to how we practice by splitting the fields up, you're going to get more reps in less amount of time. I mean, there's a lot of tape to watch.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur in Green Bay with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Isolated showers this evening, otherwise mostly cloudy tonight, to low in the low 50s. For tomorrow, partly sunny, maybe a pop-up storm and highs in the low 70s. Heating up this weekend, 70s and some 80s. Lots of sunshine and it stays dry. Currently 57 degrees.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had 4 meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top 3 things of concern to people were education, healthcare, and childcare. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Thursday, Sean O'Malley has our weekly look at your money and the markets, and we'll talk about the real story on finding and fighting fraud.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
That is what our framers intended, and I don't care if it's your team winning today, it won't always be that way. So what in the heck are they doing?
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
Are you kidding me?
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I think that speaks to Wisconsinites in a really special way that I've been to 15 baseball stadiums. It ain't the same in other places.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome back, everybody. Happy hump day. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I won't stop talking about it. I just won't until we all know actually what is going on in this country. My next guest will help us understand that better from the vantage point of small businesses. His name is Michael Negron. He's the former special assistant to the president for economic policy. While at the White House, he sat on Joe Biden's National Economic Council, and he recently joined the board of directors of the Small Business Majority, a national small business organization that empowers America's diverse entrepreneurs to build a thriving and equitable economy. Michael, thank you so much for making time. As an economist and as a data dork, I always love it when other people, and I say those things with a lot of love and respect, join me to talk about these things here on the show, because some, you know, wonks start talking and it's like the Peanuts character, right? So we got to make it understandable for folks.
Yes, yes, we do, especially when you're talking about small businesses, which are the bedrock of our economy.
Absolutely. So I wanted to start with some sound, Jacob. We're going to take the Trump sound right away. You know, having observed all of the Trump flippity-floppities when it comes to economic policy since January 21st, it made my head hurt. I actually had to get, like, write my own timeline to keep straight all of the things that were happening. He promised us 90 deals in 90 days. We're not even close to any of that. We're now currently at the highest effective tax rates that we've... Excuse me. I should say highest effective tariff tax rates. They're all taxes that we've seen in this country for 80 plus years. Let's take a listen. This was quite the savvy question to the president a few weeks back.
Mr. President, Wall Street analysts have coined a new term called the taco trade. They're saying Trump always chickens out on your tariff threats, and that's why markets are higher this week. What's your response to that?
I kick out.
Chicken out.
Oh, isn't that nice? Chicken out. I've never heard that. You mean because I reduced China from 145% that I set down to 100 and then down to another number? And I said you have to open up your whole country. And because I gave the European Union a 50% tax tariff, and they called up and they said, please, let's meet right now. Please, let's meet right now. And I said, okay, I'll give you till June 9, I actually asked them, I said, what's the date? Because they weren't willing to meet. And after I did what I did, they said, we'll meet anytime you want. And we have an end date of July 9th. You call that chickening out? Because we have $14 trillion now invested, committed to investing when Biden didn't have practically anything.
We could just talk about the $14 trillion, which is a completely made up number. Half of it refers back to deals that were already done. I don't want to do that. the head lobbyist, the head of the organization, right, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, went into the Oval Office and said, please, Mr. President, please create exemptions in your tariff policy for small businesses so that they will have certainty. They can actually project out. They can run their books. They know what the SKU codes will mean in terms of the price of goods. They know how to deal with currency exchange prices. And Donald Trump said, go kick rocks. Meanwhile, he continues to cut deals for those who can afford to buy and curry favor, whether we're talking about tariff policies or criminal pardons. Michael, take us through, why is the Trump taco and the Trump tariff terror so devastating for small businesses?
Well, that, you said it exactly right there, that you can't predict what's coming with him. And the taco trade and the memes have been pretty funny very recently. But it gets at the fact that it's coming from Wall Street, and it's saying, you know, when the president talks about tariffs and he unleashes a new threat, the market tanks. But don't worry, he's going to cave and then the market will come back up. And that's great if you're a Wall Street trader. But when he's making these statements and when he's imposing these policies and you're a small business owner and you're having to order your inventory for, depends on your business. If you're, you might be a toy store and you want to be ready for back to school and Christmas. You might be selling clothing or summer furniture and you're getting ready for the summer. You're buying this stuff months in advance. And so if he's putting in, you know, on April 2nd, he announces a set of tariffs. They got up to 145% on China. He also announced that day a set of country by country tariffs, which were in the midst of a 90-day pause, but 46%.
Don't forget the penguins, Michael. Yeah, the penguins.
That's right. Mm-hmm. He taxed some uninhabited other than penguin
islands.
Inhabited islands. And he quickly, you know, folded on those, but they're still looming out there. And it was just 2 weeks ago that his Treasury Secretary was on some of the Sunday shows. And he said, well, you know, soon we're going to be sending letters to these countries to set their tariffs, their individual country tariffs, if we don't like the way the negotiations are going. And so if you're a business owner and you're trying to predict what your supply chains will look like over the next few months, what are you doing with that information? I mean, even the stand down from the 145%, which he talked about in the segment that you played, even standing down to 30%,
yeah,
30%, that is tremendously high, tremendously costly. And so not only is he constantly changing, but the dollar amounts of these changes are significant. A few weeks ago, a couple of outlets did this, but the Washington Post is the one that's top of mind. They went through and they counted. And of course, this is before his threats to the EU and before the threat to Apple in particular, but counted the number of times that he had changed tariff policy since taking office. And it was at over 50. And we have to be approaching 60 now. And so if you are someone who's trying to decide whether to make an investment or to hire or to add a location, how are you making decisions right now? And the fact is, we're hearing it from business owners across the country that you're not. A couple weeks ago, the National Federation of Independent Businesses, they do a monthly small business optimism survey. And unsurprisingly, the last 4 months, business optimism and confidence has declined. But what to me was so striking in the most recent survey for April was that the share of small businesses planning to make capital investments in the next 6 months fell to the lowest level since April of 2020. What was happening in April of 2020? The beginning
COVID.
Of the pandemic.
Yeah.
And so this is not a great environment to be a small business owner. And exactly as you noted, you know, you had the head of the chamber asking for help for small business, got a flat no. But when you have the CEO of Apple coming in, they got some changes, although, you know, now the president threatened to undo those, or at least to do some sort of Apple specific tariff. The big three automakers got at least some relief on the foreign auto parts. And so if you're a big player, you can get some help. But if you're a little guy, there's no help coming. In fact, likely more instability.
And that instability, what if you don't run a small business or you don't know a small business owner, again, it may seem like, oh, well, as long as he brings the levels down, blah, blah, blah. No, the details matter. And it it paralyzes. If you're a small business owner, oh my gosh, well, what do I do? Well, I'm going to, you know, it's like flight. What is it? Freeze, fight, and flight. They're freezing, right? Because the threat is so real. It changes. There's no predictability. It's largely, and you can hear it in the taco clip we played. The thing that's driving all of it is whether or not countries will kiss his butt, which he said at a donor dinner. Excuse me, it wasn't the donor dinner. It was the Kennedy Center for the Arts, their board dinner, said it right out loud. Oh, they're kissing my butt. Isn't this great? Small business are business owners are paralyzed with doubt. And I want to get to the question of, is Trump trying to throw them a bone with some of the things in the big brutal bill, which I've heard spun by some in the MAGA regime as being pro-small business? I want to get to that. But I just wanted to lean in, Michael, a little bit on the concept of margins, right? These are these fancy words that people throw around in business. But a margin in a small business is how much cash on hand do you have? How much, what I'm just going to say, like float do you have for big fluctuations or errors in your planning? Will you be able to get over the next ocean wave crest of problems, right? Back in April of 2020, there was a global pandemic not caused by an American president. Now we have a global economic panic, paralyzation of small business owners that is having ripple effects throughout our economy created by an American president. So if you can just explain to people what's happening, not only can people not plan, it's paralyzing them. And if they can't plan, if they can't look forward in their budgets, they can't hire, they don't know if they can make a capital investment, and price points are moving all over the place. I've been prognosticating, you're going to see thousands of small businesses going under because margins are just smaller. There's less room for error. Am I right about that?
I think it is a very tough time for small business right now. As you've said, as you noted, the margins can be quite tight depending on the industry. A small retailer or a restaurant, you're looking at maybe a couple percentage points. And so if the price of some of your inputs, whether it's people may not remember this, but a few months ago they imposed a tariff on Mexican tomatoes. It was specific, right? It was a specific tariff on Mexican tomatoes. And if you look at other types of goods from overseas, other foods and items, that can really eat into your margins if you don't raise prices. And so what will likely happen, and I think the canary in the coal mine here is Walmart.
Yeah.
A few weeks ago, Walmart, biggest retailer in the country, I believe also the world, announced that they were going to have to raise prices starting in late May. And this is after broad reporting on the fact that in April, Walmart was starting, and Target, so some of the larger retailers, but Walmart in particular, were pushing their vendors to eat the cost of tariffs because they didn't want to have those passed on to them, and they wanted to keep their prices low, including Walmart reaching out to its China-based vendors, trying to get them to eat the costs. Well, flash forward to the present, it sounds like they didn't get enough relief, and so they're going to raise their prices. And here's the thing. Walmart can do that because they're the biggest retailer. But if you're a small business owner, you don't have the ability to negotiate with your suppliers, with your vendors. And so if Walmart is pushing for a deal and they're not getting one, or they're not getting enough of one to shield their customers from prices, what's going to happen to the rest of businesses, right? And so I think what we're going to end up seeing is businesses are going to have to raise prices to avoid going out of business. And even then, it won't be enough for some. And so we're likely in for some tough times, both from a cost of living perspective, where we're going to see prices go up on a whole host of goods, particularly those from China. But we're going to see businesses really getting squeezed.
68 million Americans work in small businesses. 68 million. If Walmart can't use the biggest buying power leverage in the world to get their suppliers to eat the increase in prices because of Donald Trump's tariff terror, the mom and pop down the street ain't going to be able to do it either. Our conversation with Michael Negron continues on the other side. Former special assistant to President Biden for economic policy, currently on the board of directors for the Small Business Majority. My name is Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked, where we make wonk fun. here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Paul.
We're from the Wausau Business Show, 100% action-packed Wausau every Saturday, 8 to 9 on Bull Falls 98.9 WXCO. We're also available on Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts.
You're nailing it. Keep going.
WausauBusiness.com. We broadcast from the tippy top of Rib Mountain. So we'll see you Saturday, Wausaunians.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening and loving Wausau, Wisconsin, USA.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In a recent report from Georgia, we told you about voters contesting a mass voter eligibility challenge by election group True the Vote. In another 11th Circuit courtroom that same week, a group of black voters challenged the voting districts for Metro Atlanta. The Georgia Recorder reports that a judge ruled in 2021 that after the 2020 U.S. Census, the Georgia legislature failed to account for the growth of black voters in Metro Atlanta and needed to include additional majority-minority congressional, state house, and state senate districts. The current suit before a three-judge appeals panel contends that the court-ordered maps drawn by the legislature in 2023 may not have met the judge's requirements and instead kept the status quo. Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger's brief contends that the Voting Rights Act Section 2 should no longer be in use. He argues that the plaintiffs must prove that the motivation for the maps was racial discrimination, not legal under the federal VRA, and not for partisan political reasons, which the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled is inherently a state issue. Anti-voter arguments citing the Equal Protection Clause and it was political, not racial gerrymandering, are increasing in an effort to neutralize VRA protections for minority voters. Expect an opinion in the case in the coming months. We have more on the long history of the case at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. Find us on Blue Sky at Democracy Minute.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin, sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network, joined this half hour by Michael Negron, Senior Fellow at the Center for American Progress. Oh, no, that's not your correct title anymore. I'm reading off the screen. You are...
No, I'm there.
Oh, you are?
I'm still there.
You're at the Center for American Progress. Okay, good. Well, I'm glad I didn't misspeak, and thank you for correcting me. In addition to being at the Center for American Progress, he's also on the board of directors for the Small Business Majority. He's served on the White House's National Economic Council. He knows tons about small businesses, including these facts that Michael has shared with me. Not just 68 million Americans. Let's talk about Wisconsinites. In Wisconsin, we have just under 500,000 small businesses that employ close to 1.3 million people in the state. These are 97% of all businesses in Wisconsin, and they employ about half of our workforce. So it is a big, big deal. Now, Michael, there's a big, brutal bill that the House has adopted promising one of the single largest transfers of wealth yet again from working people to the top 1%. And they're doing some things with the ACA. It caught my eye, and I know yours, because so many small business owners rely on the ACA to access healthcare coverage. Tell us more.
That's right. Well, the Affordable Care Act and particularly the exchanges, that's where you can go and shop for coverage. And with the American Rescue Plan, the federal government established a tax credit that made it more affordable to get plans on those exchanges. And we have about 4.2 million small business owners and self-employed individuals who get their healthcare from the exchanges. And so the failure to renew and extend those tax credits, which is which the big beautiful bill would not do, means that these business owners are going to end up paying more for their health insurance, or they may not be able to pay for them at all. And so that is a significant impact just on the owners themselves, let alone their employees, because many of their employees are also, particularly if you're a small business who can't afford to have a group plan, your employees are relying on the Affordable Care Act most likely for their insurance. And so you're looking at an impact not only to the business owners, but to the employees as well. And that's not even to mention in the same kind of realm, cuts to SNAP and to Medicaid, which will affect the consumers for these businesses. And so if consumers have less spending money or are more uncertain about their own livelihood, they're less likely to spend money at your store. And so that you're looking at an impact there just to people's bottom lines and to their livelihoods.
I want to give a little emphasis there because, Michael, one of my great sort of macro fears is that we are fast approaching a point where the economic engine of U.S. GDP, which has largely for the last 40, 50 years been on an upward trajectory. Again, the majority of the wealth that that growth has created has not inured to the benefit of the middle class. But the very engine is not just the small business, but it is consumer demand, right? That 70% plus of the U.S. economy is driven by consumer purchasing. What I keep telling people is billionaires stop purchasing stuff because of this weird thing called the law of diminishing marginal returns. Your 100th Rolls Royce ain't as punchy as the first one. They keep their wealth. It is the middle class person that spends the vast majority of the dollars spent in this country on consumer goods. That pinch is very real. People will feel real economic pain. They will buy less. They will buy less from small businesses. Small businesses will have less health insurance because they will not be able to afford it because of the expiration of this tax credit. Tell me something good, Michael. What can people do to staunch the bleed, as it were?
Well, I think talking about the impacts and having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to healthcare, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees. I do think that will have a real impact. The fact that the Trump taco, that the taco play exists, is in fact because every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback from business owners, from the industry, from various business industries, and he retreats in the face of it. Now, the one bad outcome of that is that he's so wishy-washy, right? And you have all that uncertainty. But the fact is that they have shown to be responsive when they see they're going to hurt business owners, particularly those who are part of their what they perceive to be their voting base, right? In the red states or Trump administration in particular thinks that they're doing solid for small business with their policies. And so just lifting up those voices in every state, having stories shared that show that impact. You know, I did a hearing a couple of weeks ago in the House, and there were a few small businesses who were participating in the hearing, and just hearing them talk about the impact of tariffs on their bottom line and how it meant they were going to have to reduce the number of product lines, how they were having trouble remaining profitable. That it's really powerful, compelling testimony. And we know that's all over the country. And so we just need more and more of that to be out there and elevated because that seems to have some impact both on the administration and on the Congress to push back marginally on these policies. And it's got to be a game of inches, right? You push a little bit, they retreat a little bit, push a little bit more, they retreat a little bit more. And hopefully we can get them to ultimately back off some of these really short-sighted policies that are going to hurt so many small business owners.
Got to keep the pressure up. Very briefly, we got about 30 seconds, Michael. Republicans have what I would call an expansive definition of small businesses when they talk about helping out small businesses. Is that a fair assessment?
I think that when we think about small businesses, we're really thinking about mom and pop shops. And so you could have a definition where you have a $5 million, $10 million business as a small business. But really, we have to be worried about the millions of mom and pops that have a handful of employees or no employees at all who are on a knife's edge and who go under any minute with these policies.
Michael, my pleasure. look forward to having you back sometime soon, because this is where it's at. Michael Negron, Senior Fellow with the Center for American Progress Action Fund and on the Board of Directors of the Small Business Majority. When we come back, folks, it'll be time for Midweek Sound Off. What's on your mind? 855-75-CIVIC.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WXCO News, I'm Brittany Merlot. It took 10 days, but many Cellcom customers are finally seeing a return of voice and text services following what the company is calling a cyber incident. Lisa Hale explains.
The outage started Wednesday, May 14th. On Sunday, Cellcom announced that customers were starting to see a return to service, although the restoration would not be all at once and some disruptions could still occur. Hundreds of Cellcom customers commented on that post that restoration was temporary and the disruptions continue. Cellcom provides cell phone, internet, and business communications to Northeast Wisconsin, Central Wisconsin, and parts of the Upper Peninsula.
And average gas prices in Wisconsin rose slightly over the last week, landing at an average of $3.02 today. This is about 4.5 cents higher than a month ago and over 38 cents per gallon lower than this time last year. Gas prices across the state range from $2.59 to $3.49, a difference of 90 cents. Melissa Kay tells us more.
Prices didn't fall as far as anticipated for Memorial Day, but officials at GasBuddy say it was still one of the most affordable since 2021. They expect to see a relatively stable stretch for gas prices as we head into summer. Refinery maintenance is wrapping up, but several factors could still affect prices, such as the growing uncertainty around the upcoming hurricane season.
And days after announcing her candidacy in the 2026 Wisconsin Supreme Court election, Judge Chris Taylor has received the endorsement of three current justices and Justice-elect Susan Crawford. Justices Rebecca Dallet, Jill Korowski, and Janet Protasiewicz all expressed their support for Judge Taylor. She currently serves as the Court of Appeals and will challenge incumbent Justice Rebecca Bradley for the state Supreme Court seat. I'm Brittany Merlot for WXCO.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. On the heels of Lilo and Stitch's incredible showing at the box office, it's time for a tip of the cap to Disney CEO Bob Iger, who returned to run the studio in 2022 in the middle of the pandemic. Variety reports that prior to his arrival, the studio was putting out too many films, quantity over quality. Some of the studio hits since Iger's arrival include Inside Out 2, Mufasa the Lion King, Moana 2, and Deadpool and Wolverine. The four films were some of the biggest hits last year. On the way from the House of Mouse this summer are Avatar 3 and Zootopia. Utopia 2. The Last of Us Season 2 is in the books. Last Sunday's episode pulled in 3.7 million viewers, a 30% drop from the season's premiere. Despite the 30% drop from the season premiere to the finale, the show is still outperforming Season 1 when it comes to overall numbers. HBO has already given the go-ahead for Season 3. There is no release date, but production is scheduled to start in June. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Isolated showers this evening, otherwise mostly cloudy tonight, to low in the low 50s. For tomorrow, partly sunny, maybe a pop-up storm and highs in the low 70s. Heating up this weekend, 70s and some 80s. Lots of sunshine and it stays dry. Currently 57 degrees.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Matt and Air on Air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had four meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top three things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt and Air on Air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, several judges ruling against the Trump administration. Jim Santel will be here to break that down. Weather and wine with Brittany Merlot and sports in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Welcome back, everybody. Hope that you're all doing well this fine hump day afternoon. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is time for the midweek sound off. What is your thing? What's grinding your gears? What's lighting your hair on fire? I light mine on fire nearly every day here on this fine program. Give us a call or text 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I'm going to start out on a positive note. I was at the Brewers game yesterday, and holy cow, for a baseball fan, first of all, it was a bit like watching paint dry for like the first seven innings. And then all of a sudden, things got very interesting. Christian Yelich with his first walk-off home run. In fact, it was a grand slam yesterday. The place went absolutely wild. I loved the fact that the folks that turned out for that weeknight game got such a wonderful reward for their patience with the crew last night. Really enjoyed that. Couple of things just to seed the discussion this afternoon. Donald Trump and his pardons are insane. It is overt corruption. Republicans and Democrats in the past, here were generically the requirements to get pardons. Either there was a plausible claim of innocence that the courts simply could not consider because of the strictures of habeas corpus relief, an unduly harsh sentence that seems unduly harsh in retrospect, some inequity in the process, something like that. People showing genuine remorse for what they did and showing that they have rehabilitated, that they are active members and want to contribute to society. These things, it would go through an extensive review process. All kinds of folks at the DOJ, they had an office of pardons that had these specific requirements. And it was always the case, though there have been both Democrats and Republicans that probably skated too close to this line, but the baseline running rule was people can't buy pardons by buying your crypto, donating to your campaign, donating to your inauguration fund. You know, that's bad. Or that people can effectively buy pardons because they happen to have a big microphone or a big platform, and they just effusively praise you. Donald Trump is horse trading pardons just like jets, just like Access, just like his crypto, just like the meme coin, just like the stable coin. Pardons are for sale. I kind of feel like it's a little bit like the Peanuts cartoon. It was Lucy that had the psychiatrist is in 5 cents for the, like, he should just throw a big banner outside the White House and be like, pardons for sale. Tariff exemptions for sale. And here's the I think this does bother Americans, even Trump supporters. I don't think people like the idea that you can just, you can be rotten to the core, a complete bad actor, corrupt as the day is long. Oh, another sort of unwritten rule is that pardons weren't given to actual violent criminals. You can look at Trump's record of pardons from his first administration, which wasn't nearly as audacious and corrupt as this one. And a few of those people have committed serious reoffenses. One apparently accused of like assaulting a kid. So that, to me, is despicable. It's despicable in the context of the big, brutal bill and the pain, the emptier bellies, the sicker Wisconsinites, the less economically secured, the doing nothing about the price of housing, doing nothing to solve the child care crisis, stripping Medicaid and Medicare and emergency food assistance and not renewing the ACA tax credit for the premiums. All of this is going to really, people are going to be hurting. We've got more expensive things because of the tariff chaos and terror. And this isn't because no one told Donald Trump you really should tax the ultra rich more. He was told that by Steve Bannon in the last couple of months. He even talked about, well, maybe we'll do this. Maybe we'll tax the ultra. No, they won't do it. It ain't in the bill. It ain't in the big brutal bill. It never will be in the big brutal bill because that's not what it's about. And then the corruption, the selling of access. If money is speech and corporations are people, all we're doing is whispering. I think, real Americans, this matters to people. What do you think? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Disgusting. Disgusting. And I wanted to give some love as you're calling in. We're going to get to all your calls. 855-752-4842. I wanted to get to this. My colleague here at Civic Media, Jenny Brand, found a small piece of local news reporting from the Door Peninsula talking about how the cuts to emergency food assistance from the big, brutal bill, how those cuts are going to hurt Wisconsin farmers, very specifically in the Door Peninsula. I think this is important. I think we should care about this. It's not just the 700 plus thousand Wisconsinites that get emergency food assistance. 12% of the state population, 1 in 8 people. Here's what Jenny shared with us. This was a report from Door County Daily News. They're going to have, people will have to wait. There's already federal funding delays, specifically not just for SNAP, but for the women, infants, and children, the WIC program, which is also for seniors. Okay. Because those benefits right now, today, are delayed, it's having this trickle-down effect because there is, in Wisconsin, this thing is called the Farmers Market Nutrition Program, which is designed to connect those that get WIC benefits with local farmers. See how that works? And they get a specific sort of voucher that they can use to buy from our Wisconsin family-owned farms, those small businesses. 1,000 farmers are part of this program. Those farmers will have less revenue. So people are going to be hungrier and there are going to be more family farms out of business. That's what the big brutal bill is doing. I don't get it. Ollie from Northwoods, you've been very patient this afternoon. Hello, welcome. What do you have to say?
Well, I'd like first off to talk about the broad appeal and Medicaid and SNAP all in one. I know of a lady who is 75 years old, has health conditions, and has been for years raising her great-grandchildren. And all the while trying to hold down a job. Mm. If all those things go away, what will she do for her family?
Yeah. Oh, Ollie, I can hear the pain. I can hear the pain and the fear. I mean,
and it's fear. I fear what will happen. And I don't know her pain, can't imagine fully her pain. Neither can those representatives who are not doing anything. I called Ron Johnson and asked him. He's going to vote no on the bill because it's not steep enough. It doesn't cut enough from those families who need SNAP. It doesn't cut enough from the people who need Medicaid. And then I asked him, is he going to vote no for the president's birthday parade? If we need to save more money, why can't we save that money?
Yeah, Ollie, I hear you. Ron Johnson today was at the Milwaukee Press Club. He blew off questions about raising revenues. You know, if you've got a deficit, you can do two things. You can cut expenditures or you can raise revenues, or you can maybe do a little of both. Ron Johnson, I'm not talking about revenues. We just spend too much. I think we've got, he said this over and over and over again, CNBC, CNN, he's been all, oh, he went on Tucker Carlson to spread that gospel of the cruelest cuts imaginable to the people who can least afford it while giving tax cuts to those who don't need it one little bit. I think this is is this Rojo on CNN this past I think this might be State of the Union on Sunday. You got this cut. It's cut one. Yeah, let's take a listen.
I've heard people rationalize this, and I mean important people rationalize. You know, just go along with this. This is what we have to do to win the majority, maintain the majority in the House in 2027, right? Well, what good is a majority if you literally don't solve the problems that you're aware of? Oh, so when we have the majority in 2027, then we're going to actually turn the spending curve down. That's when we're going to return to pre-pandemic level spending. I don't buy it. This is our one opportunity. And right now we're blowing, and I'm going to do everything I can to make sure we don't blow it. I don't discount the fact that we may lose the House, we may lose the Senate, but I would say we do that because we're not solving these problems. We're going to be looked at as unserious. Our base is going to go, why did we elect you guys? You didn't take the bull by the horns. You didn't solve this problem. You're really no better than Democrats. I think we have to be concerned about that.
Cut more, cut more, cut more. It's infuriating to me. This is my midweek sound. That is infuriating to me. Derek Van Orten on the Meg Ellison show on WSAU this past Friday. These Democrats have been lying to you when they say we're cutting Medicaid, Medicare, SNAP benefits. That we're going to cut all these other programs. They're lying. And we did this early enough so that folks are going to understand that we're telling the truth. It's fantastic. I want anybody in my district to call me if their benefits drop by a nickel. Not going to happen. Yes, it will. Do you think he just doesn't know, doesn't care, is actually lying? By the way, you can find every single state congressional representative's phone number for both their DC offices and their local district offices in the show notes for today. We're also going to put in those show notes the website for Laura Benjamin, who's looking to unseat Derek Van Orten in the Congressional 3rd District. Her website is laurabenjaminforcongress.com. That's laurabenjaminforcongress.com. She's super active on Blue Sky. Thanks again to Laura for being here. Gross. Just gross. Oh, tomorrow, the Joint Committee on Finance is meeting at 1 p.m. I'm sure they'll put back the child care counts funding, don't you think? I'm sure they'll do that to help keep child care funding, child care affordable. No, they're not going to do that. We're going to turn the page, go out on some fun for this week's edition coming up next of Over the Hump and Trump. Do you know that it's spelling bee season, y'all? You might hear me get quizzed live on the radio. Oh, my goodness. Keep it locked. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. Here on the Civic Media Radio Network, keep it locked. Over the Hump and Trump Spelling Bee Edition. It's the Script Spelling Bee up next.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Medicare loses about $60 billion annually to fraud, errors, and abuse. June 2nd through the 8th is Medicare Fraud Prevention Week, focusing on the actions everyone can take to prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Learn more by liking and following Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol on Facebook. Then visit our website, smpwi.org. For information and advice, remember, Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Child abuse is not a bad parent problem.
And the causes may be different than you think.
You see, paid family leave,
that prevents child abuse.
And high-quality, affordable child care
prevents child abuse, too.
Prevent Child Abuse America promotes programs and resources informed by science that help communities, parents, and kids thrive.
Because when we keep families out of crisis,
we prevent child abuse
from ever happening.
Go to PreventChildAbuse.org to learn more.
Let's solve child abuse before it ever happens.
Matt Nair on air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had four meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top three things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Because probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
It's a good day to have a great day. It's a good day to have a great day, baby. I woke up, sunshine knocking on my window.
Welcome back, everybody. Feeling cooler than the other side of my window. Oh, Lord. The weeks be long. We need a little relief. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Big thanks to all my amazing guests today for Jamie to make it happen. Jacob on the board, making sure we can hear everybody. You are very appreciated. We have Bobby Kogan from the Center for American Progress Action Fund talking about the cruel cuts in the big, brutal bill to emergency food assistance. We had Dr. Kristen Lierley and candidate for the 3rd Congressional District, Laura Benjamin. You can find out more about Laura's campaign at laurabenjaminforcongress.com. You can find her on Blue Sky. She's busy there as well. We also had Michael Negron, who worked at the White House's National Economic Council, expert on small businesses, talking about, again, the cruelty of the big brutal bill to small business owners, the cruelty of the Trump tariff terror. I had to sound off on a few things. Thanks to Ollie for calling in and sharing real world impacts of the cruelty. And so I think we all need a well-deserved break. Not only is it baseball season, ladies and gentlemen, but we are in the middle rounds of the Scripps National Spelling Bee. And it just so happens that my senior producer, Jamie, might have won herself a spelling bee or two. Five. Back in the day.
Five
spelling
Five.
Bees?
Corn Palace City champion.
right here. And then I actually went to state, got third a couple of times, second a couple of times, was never actually able to win first at state, but been there. Not good enough for Scripps, though. Those kids are amazing.
So, yes, they are. I am always extraordinarily
Spelling
impressed.
Spelling Bee, by the way, the Scripps is like Super Bowl for me. Like, it literally is.
For sure. I watch it every year because I'm so enthralled by the pageantry, the tension, the hovering helicopter parents.
J-Lo came out in spandex. Holy buckets.
I mean, when J-Lo thinks your Spelling Bee is cool, you have arrived.
That's right.
Now, my big thing was when I was in grade school was not the spelling bee. It was the geography bees and the current event quizzes. I won both for my school, St. Pius X Catholic Grade School, on the near east side of Wauwatosa. Whoop, whoop, Pius. But I never won the spelling bee. So spelling was not my strongest suit.
If you know me well, which I hope my husband's not listening, geography...
Not your thing.
No, not my thing. Nope. Don't
ask. We could just mind meld, Jamie.
Don't ask me what direction I'm going, where I'm going, where things are. It's not happening. Current events. That was a whole different story.
You're good at the current events. I know that because you keep me current. One current event, I forgot to mention this while we were on air. Josh Call announcing a lawsuit against the Trump administration related to his attacks on and threats of cuts to public universities. This, again, always think of it, ladies and gentlemen, in the arc of what has been happening within Republicanism for the last 50 years. This has always been part of the plan. Vouchers to defund public schools and then attack the university system at the the secondary and post-secondary levels. But you're going to help embarrass me on the air with some spelling quizzes.
I am. And we're going to start out easy. And, you know, even though this is supposed to be a fun segment, this word that we're going to start with is
just popped up.
Very apropos for the times.
And I'm going to cheat. I'm going to write down what I think the spelling is because I'm a visual gal.
So the first one is very easy.
Okay, good.
It's windbaggery. Windbaggery.
All right.
Which I told you.
Windbaggery.
Yes.
Windbaggery. Windbaggery. As in Donald Trump deploys windbaggery every day.
We're right there. Right there. Oh, I like it. Thank you.
Wow, so affirming.
We got very excited about that.
Oh, we do. A little ting.
Does it take much? All right. Very good. Very good. Second word I'm going to give you. Another one apropos for the times. Yammer. Which is a verb.
Yammer. Donald Trump yammers on in all of his windbaggery. Y-A-M-M-E-R. Yammer.
Yes. Yes. See? Oh, I love it. Okay. All right. So now you obviously are very good at this. So we got to get a little harder. Okay. So the next word is a noun. And it's a German origin. And it's Zugzwang.
Zugzwang. Oh my God.
It's the need to make a move in chess when it's not to one's advantage. Zugzwang.
Oh dear. The German, I was very German. I'm from Milwaukee. I should be able to work very hard. I should be able to spell Zugzwang. Does it start with a Z?
It does.
All right. I'm going to go with the German phonetic because they tend to spell phonetically. Yes. Z. Now, here's the trick. This is the vowel question is the big one here. I'm going to go with Z-U.
Yes.
C-H-S-V-A-A-N.
No.
Damn.
No.
Give me the ding anyways.
No, do we have a buzzer? We need
the faux ding. Oh, I like the faux ding.
Okay. Zugzwang is Z-U-G-Z-W-A-N-G.
Oh, yes. I should have known the W, so I'm going to take full responsibility for not the W. That's a damnedly hard word.
That is a hard word. It is a hard word. Okay, I've got another one for you.
I don't feel bad about missing that
And
one.
This is a Greek word in origin.
Okay.
All right? It is hoi polloi, and it's a plural noun. It means ordinary people, multitude, or masses.
The hoi polloi, the unwashed masses. Yes. I think I've seen this before. H-O-I-P-O-L-L-O-I.
Yes.
Hoi polloi.
Yes. Very nice.
My God, I'm like, oh, and I'm so excited. I got the hi, everybody, on the Book of Faces and on our YouTube channel. I was so excited the camera
so
went.
So excited we got all our right. cameras all donkey. Yes. All right, which is not a word. All right, so another word here.
Oh, 50 seconds.
All right, this is a good one. It's a short one. It's a noun. Quokka. It's a small, stocky wallaby with a reddish-brown coat and a short tail. Quokka.
Q?
Yep, Q.
W? A-K-A?
No. It is Q-U-O-K-K-A.
Oh, Quokka. No one's never getting that. That was 0%.
These, by the way, are words from the actual scripts. From the actual script spelling bee. Yeah.
Maybe we'll no camera. It's just not even. Goodbye, everybody, on the U of the
it's
tube. Sorry about the camera.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. At the UN Security Council today, an American trauma surgeon talked about Gaza's collapsing healthcare system. Dr. Feroz Sidwell worked in Khan Yunis.
Every day, the distinction between combatant and civilian is erased. Most of my patients were preteen children, their bodies shattered by explosives and torn by flying metal.
Israel claims it killed another Hamas leader, correspondent Rami Innocencio.
Mohammed Sinwar, the younger brother of Yahya Sinwar, who was killed late last year, has now been killed in Israeli strikes.
The FAA says this could be the busiest summer in 15 years. In Turkey, they're considering fining passengers who unbuckle their seatbelts or open overhead bins before the plane comes to a complete stop. And the European Union is considering allowing airlines longer flight delays without having to compensate passengers. Stock futures are higher. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.